We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, and we're joined by Kim Jones. Big hand for Kim, please, as we... There we go.
Thank you, guys, even though he coerced you into
That's
it.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's going on, Kim? Did you go travel with the Giants or no?
No, I don't usually travel to games in preseason.
Okay.
I was actually at Penn State. I'm doing a piece on one of their kids.
Oh, really?
Some college pieces now, written pieces, which I really enjoy.
Right.
I was actually there, and I drove back.
Is Penn State good this year? They need a new quarterback, right?
Yeah, they do.
Nick Soley's gone, so who's the quarterback?
They're going to have either Clifford or Levis, I believe is how he says his
last
name.
Do they have a good team?
They have a really good defense.
Okay.
So hopefully the offense can catch up. But I was driving back. I was listening to you on my way down, and I was driving back in those thunderstorms.
Oh.
And I'm coming, obviously, east. I literally hit every pocket of thunderstorms last night. It was amazing. Yeah. I couldn't believe the Mets were playing when they were playing because we were in incredible down. I was in incredible downpours on Route 80.
I actually had a run to Sporting Goods store last night because my son needed – he's freshman football now.
So yes.
So he's needed something for practice today.
Gotcha.
And he tells me this at 8 o'clock last night.
Well, of course. That's the way kids are, right?
So I said, okay, we hop in the car with one of his friends, and I'm listening to the Met game.
Right.
And the Met game, Howie starts talking about how – now, that's about – from where I was, about 25-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
And Howie's talking about how hard it's raining. And I said, wow, it's raining in City Field. It's not raining here. Within a minute and a half – we could not see.
Right.
I mean, we literally could not see.
I know.
It was raining so hard. And it rained like that until about 2 in the morning last night.
Oh, did it?
Yes. We had over, where I live, over 2 inches of rain in that time.
Wow.
It was torrential last night. So they said they didn't get that much here, but where we did, and they never got the game back on. They tried to get back
on
the field.
I gave up.
And then they finally played.
I was so tired. I gave up. So I didn't see when they did resume, and then I didn't see
they
it.
They did. They tried again, and then they took it off, put it back on.
Gotcha.
It was soaking wet, and then they finally they called it a day.
But I'm glad they won again. I mean, they're incredible. They're so entertaining.
They are good. You know, they're very likable. You know, all these kids, I went down and did a show with them in spring training, and I also was down there nearby, and I spent a day with them, and they have so many good kids on that team. Conforto, which you obviously know, and Wheeler, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but I mean, even Dominic Smith is a great kid, and
Alonso,
who's a wonderful kid, and
Alonso,
McNeil, and all of them, and they just think a whole bunch of them, and you can tell how much they like each other, you know,
no
and
doubt.
You blend in Frazier, who's a good team guy,
and J.D. Davis, and who I think you had on yesterday, right?
Was
how
terrific.
Was he? Because
he
was still there,
and he's had a great time, and
good.
He said, hey,
sure
I thought I was going to be a big player on this team, and now, you know, when Dom Smith went down, he became an everyday player. He's at 400 since that
That's
time.
Amazing.
So they have really, I mean, they have 27-10 since the All-Star break.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and 13-1 at home in the last 14 games.
And they've done the last, week and a half without McNeil, who what most of us thinks their best player.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been great. The Giants, it's funny, you don't usually see teams that are actually trying to make a statement in preseason.
Yeah.
The Giants are trying to make a statement in preseason. And they're making it. I mean, they're winning the games. They're getting positive notice for their quarterback, which they wanted to get.
Yes.
And they're winning the games, trying to change a culture in the preseason. That's how bad it's gotten for the Giants. But they actually are doing it. So this is going to come out and be a positive preseason for the Giants.
I agree with everything you just said. And the point to me about Daniel Jones is this. After they drafted him, for weeks after, the Giants made sure the Giants fan knew, this guy can do it. He's really good. We're telling you he's really good. They told us he never made the same mistake twice. Well, my response to that was then he should start.
Right.
Because no player in the history of the NFL, especially at quarterback, has started out never making the same mistake twice.
Sure.
So we know that's not true.
Right.
But that's what they were trying to do.
Right. They wanted to sell hard.
Yes, and they wanted to control the message so that when Daniel Jones takes over, the Giants fan says, yes, that's my guy. But since the game started in preseason, he's sold himself because he's been really good. I think he's completing 80% of his passes.
And he's also hasn't crumbled when he's made mistakes.
Right.
He's
right.
already fumbled the ball three times, yep. and it hasn't. And he got really yep. hit hard last night, and he came right back on the next play and made a big throw
yeah.
right after he got clocked. So, but last night, there was some, you know, Hernandez had a terrible time against Atkins, who's a great player.
He's a great player.
And he just spun him like a top yeah. the whole game. That offensive line is going to be improved, though.
It is going to be
you
improved.
Know, and it's going to be they're going to be pretty good offensively. What I can't tell is I can't make hide and hair in a defensive line.
Right.
I can't make hide and hair in a secondary. I mean, the defense is like a blank page to me. I can't remember a year where a Giant defense was this much of a blank page.
Well, or where the pass rush was this much of a question mark.
Yeah.
I mean, I know in recent years they haven't gotten off to great starts defensively. The defense has been a problem. Last year, OV getting injured
yep.
Next week. It would be, you know, taking a big injury that week. It was such bad timing. Really hurt their pass rush last year. And this year, I'm not sure it's apparent they have a pass rush. I do think also the Giants are fortunate. First of all, Daniel Jones does seem to be a guy that can handle everything.
Well,
he's very impressive in that regard.
Right, and even when he's been knocked and stuff, he hasn't responded.
No, he's done a really good job.
He's got a little Eli on him.
Yes, and he's really mature, and he says things with a smile on his face. You like
right.
everything about Daniel Jones.
He's a bright guy.
I will say this. When you watch Josh Allen play, the Giants have to be thanking their lucky stars that's the case, because that guy is going to be sick. I know the Jags thought Bosa was a pipe dream. They thought Quinnen Williams would never be there, and they thought Josh Allen would never be there. But those were the three dreams, and then they get one of them. Yeah, he's
I mean, the
he's
first
amazing.
Game, he was quiet.
Right, I understand.
And I thought they kept, because people were like, Josh Allen did nothing. Last night, they let him loose, and he destroyed the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins couldn't block him. They could not block him.
It looked like him against my Penn State team
it
in the bowl
like,
game.
I hate to say it. He looked like Lawrence Taylor.
He was amazing.
He is so fast.
Off the line. He is in the backfield before the running back knows what
scary.
To do with himself.
He is scary. He looked unbelievable last night. He is going to have a heck of a year. And I think that team, question is how good their offensive line is going to be. That's the Jacksonville's gonna be good on defense, okay? Even with you know who in the secondary shooting his mouth off, okay?
Ramsey.
Okay, I mean
he is colorful.
He can't show.
He's but the league is made on some of those personalities.
I guess so.
I know not everyone universally loves them,
right?
But that's why the NFL never leaves.
But
their
I just don't like when
12
it's destructive to their own team. That's what bothers me is when it's destructive. I don't mind it if it's not destructive to their own team. If it's just colorful, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just this when it's destructive to their own team, it bothers me. But I think they are a bounce-back team, Jacksonville, if the offensive line, because they had no offensive line last year. Absolutely zero. I mean, they're taking giant retreads. I mean, so that's how bad it was.
Well, and Foles, I think, as an adult, as a guy who's won, is and it will make a difference there.
Oh, and listen, they targeted him from day one. Yep. They were taking him no matter what. So that's going to be interesting to see. They're one of the teams that's going to be interesting. Have you seen – now, you cover the Eagles too, right? You do the Eagles?
Yeah.
Well, not much.
You know what? I've not seen them this preseason, which is really unusual. I think I have one of their games fairly early in the season because the Jets and Giants are both away, and they might as well send me to Philly.
How about
that
the Jets? What have you seen from the Jets this year so far?
I think Sam Darnold and his progression both as a leader – and as a quarterback, has been incredibly impressive. I loved when he told us, and you've probably heard this by now, but that last year he wouldn't like a play, but he thought it was his job to get through it, to figure it out. Now he doesn't like a play, and he says to Gase, I don't like that one, and Gase says, well, then we'll get rid of it. You know, Gase will bail on things if his players aren't responding to them well.
What do you think of Gase?
I like him more than I thought I would, which I didn't have any great thoughts about it when he came in. All I knew was he had a losing record in Miami, so what are the Jets doing? But I think now that you see him and the way he responds to questions, the way he seems to respond to his players, I think he's really impressive, Mike. I can certainly see why he got the job.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. McCagnan's there, and McCagnan, when you think of how this worked out, passed on Mike McCarthy because the Packers assassinated him. I mean, literally assassinated him. And he brings in a guy who gets him fired.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amazing thing.
Maybe the McCarthy thing would have worked out a little better.
I think in retrospect, he should have forgot about what he heard in Green Bay, because here's Mike McCarthy, who everybody wants him to hire.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hire him. And the reason why is that the Packers go out of their way to kill a guy. I mean, absolutely destroy him. And he winds up with Gase. And he knew that he had known Gase didn't play well with others. He knew the reputation, brought him in, and he brought in a guy who basically took him out.
Have you had Gase on recently?
Only one time since he's been the coach.
Okay.
I was supposed to do a show there. Yes.
At some point
They don't allow their guys on the other station.
Oh, they don't.
Because they're on the other station. So they don't. But I was supposed to do training camp. The problem was, I'm doing a 3 o'clock show, and he's starting practice at 8 o'clock
in the morning.
It didn't work.
They're in the morning.
I've never had a team do that before, where they just didn't. They were practice. He practices at 8 o'clock in the morning. They're gone.
Yes.
They're gone before I get there. So it didn't work out. But I have talked to him, and I have talked to the general manager, who I didn't know beforehand. I don't know if you knew the general manager.
I did not know him before him, but he's very impressive.
Seems like a real solid football guy.
I think when you have the Eagles and Ravens right now on your resume for as long as he did, it's pretty impressive. And I know that
I know some guys who know him and they like him.
Yeah. So, you know, and in Philly, he gets a lot of credit for that roster, which, Mike, their roster is sick. I mean, they drafted this year to fill holes down the road.
Yeah,
their roster
is
so good.
They have a very good team. I mean, they should have, unless something happens to their quarterback, they should have a very good team.
They should. Yeah, and he's had trouble staying healthy.
A very good team. And the Cowboys, it's good because the Giants are a little bit of an X factor because they could get off to a fast start.
They
schedule's pretty conducive to that.
Yes.
The Cowboys, to me, are an X factor because they got some question marks. They got some landmines. They got to deal with Elliott. They got this. They got that. You know, you wonder if the offensive linemen are healthy. Both Zach and the center are both hurt last year. You know, so you wonder about that. They got guys who have been in trouble on the defensive line. So they got a lot of questions.
Defense should be pretty good.
They have players.
You know, the coach from Seattle who's there now, whose name's escaping me in the moment.
They have very good.
They have some really good personnel.
Very good defensive players. Very, very good. They gave Smith a lot of money.
Well, and Jalen Smith, how about that? He is. We don't talk about him here, and people are probably, unless they're Cowboys fans, saying, why would you? He is a great story coming off that awful injury in the bowl game.
Almost had his career. Run.
Yes.
Yeah. Almost.
And a lot of people thought his career was over when he was at that combine. I remember he and Miles Jack were both sitting out the combine stuff because they were both coming off injuries. In his case, a severe one. And people said, like, they're just such a risk. They're never going to play. And Miles Jack's obviously been on the field a lot. But Jalen Smith has been wonderful, and he's a great story in coming back from that.
What do you think? We're talking with Kim Jones. As long as you've been doing this.
Long time.
Almost as long as I've been doing this.
Long time.
That long.
Not
that long. But training camp has changed so much. But here's the thing. Now you have a situation where the coaches and the teams are afraid to play their players in preseason.
Yes.
We've reached that point.
Yes, and
they
that's
are
the word.
Afraid
yes.
to
yes,
play
they are.
Their players.
Yes.
The future of preseason, they can't sell it to the network.
Right.
How are they going to continue to charge when they don't play anybody in these games? I mean, charge money for these games is a little ridiculous to your fan base. Make them take the ticket prices. They don't want them, and they're not playing any play. Look at the Bears did. They didn't send.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
They don't bring anybody to the game.
Week two, they're all working out. All the big guys, including Khalil Mack, who in person is he's like a statue.
Right.
In terms of his body build and everything.
They're
doing all of their work pregame, and they did a decent amount of work pregame.
And they walk out.
And I think 2 days before that, they had some, like, wild scrimmage that was actually, like, a really, almost like a game at their practice. So they came there. You know, you go to get the inactives thinking they're going to be a handful of big names.
The
Bears PR says none of our starters are playing. I said, excuse me?
None.
I said, zero, not a starter. So I start going through the names. Mac, Trubisky. They're like, Kim, no starters
None.
Are playing. I'm like, okay, I got the message now.
None.
It was amazing. And I'm sorry, and I know the Giants aren't going to say anything, and I certainly am not speaking for the Giants. That game, then, does not help the Giants
a whole
lot.
See, it doesn't. And the Giants made a lot of that game. And sort of some people in the media make a lot of that game. The Bears didn't have anybody but guys who were going to be driving UPS trucks in that game. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, there was nobody there. I mean, they were playing against a high school team for the
most part.
They
had, in the first quarter, there were plays where they had guys who, on their depth chart, I don't make the depth chart, were listed as fourth string.
Yes.
In the first quarter of that game.
Crazy.
You're just completely bastardizing preseason. The league can, I don't know what the league thinks of
question.
It. They can't love it.
And you're around the players and I'm not. So here's the question. I've been told by owners, I've been told by everybody that if you go into a room of players and bring up 18 games, you might as well duck because they won't even listen to it. Unless they collectively bargain and give them a pot of gold,
yes.
How are they ever going to get their grand scheme done, which is 18 games over 19 or 20 weeks, go to mid-February and completely downsize preseason. They don't want to do it unless they get their two extra regular season games, but it's a non-starter with the players. Do you think in the last 2 years, since I was told that it's a complete non-starter, do you think the players are softening at all towards the towards that?
I have to believe, Mike, only if ownership is going to make the deal a lot sweeter for the players, because the players know they didn't make out in the last CBA.
Right.
They're meeting
they
now, as you know.
Yeah, they got destroyed.
Right. They meet now, you know, almost as, just the idea of getting ahead of this thing.
Right.
That part
destroyed.
I like, because I would hate to see them, you know, have
a strike
or anything.
You don't
want
to strike.
Want that. And neither do they.
And listen, they got destroyed.
But in terms of health insurance, perhaps, you know, for a lifetime, and it's certainly in terms of compensation, if you were going to put them on the field for two more games, I have to believe the owners would have to buckle
because
to that.
Because if they can't get that, and you know that's Goodell's grand scheme. He wants that so badly. Mm-hmm. He's wanted it for years.
Well, that would be quite a legacy.
Listen,
to
I've wanted
also.
It. I've wanted it forever too. But I've always been told, forget it. Don't eat. John Mara told me if I brought that up in a room of players, they'd walk out on me. I mean, it's that bad. If they can't get it, and they won't give up enough money to get it, preseason has to change. They cannot,
I think preseason has to change starting next year anyway. I mean, I really do.
These games, you know who's going to revolt is the fans. You can't keep charging the fans for games when nobody shows up.
And I've actually been surprised, Mike, the games I've seen, how many fans are there. It's not full house. It's not standing room only. None of that stuff. But there are a lot of people
never get to go to a game,
right,
so they give them to other people.
Exactly.
You know?
And
they,
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what it is. Right. Someone who never gets to go says, I can take my kid to a preseason
game. And that's the nice part.
Right.
The bad part is they don't see the players they want to see, ever.
No, never.
Really.
I mean, and it's gotten worse where you hear guys now. I mean, when you saw Gaze apologize for a player getting hurt in the second quarter?
That was remarkable.
It wasn't his fault.
I know, but being at that press conference, that was pretty remarkable. I'm not sure I've ever seen a coach do that.
No,
coaches have obviously
expressed don't like
regret
to apologize
about injuries because, you know, it hurts everyone, especially the big player. I thought that was a pretty remarkable moment. I also, listen, you know me, I'm a softy. I thought it was a really human moment.
It was. I agree, but I was shocked by it because how is it his fault? The guy's playing in the second quarter of a preseason game, and he's a linebacker.
I think it's because he was the only starter out
he's
there.
He's a linebacker.
I know, but Gase is thinking he should have been standing on the sideline.
They're supposed to be indestructible. You know, I go back to what you think.
And it was friendly fire.
Right. Well, I go back to the time when Joe Namath threw an interception, tried to make a tackle and was out for the season. I mean, we were like, as kids, devastated. Here's Joe out for the season in the preseason.
Right.
I mean, that's just...
Seahorn on a return.
Your
heart's in
your mouth. I mean, when you see that stuff. But we've reached the point now where the mentality of the coaches is, I'm not playing. I'm not playing. And it's not even, let's go have a dress rehearsal. It's like, he'll play week one.
That is one thing. I think we in the media have to stop calling week three of the preseason
a
dress rehearsal.
It's nonsense.
I understand it's what we've always done.
Right.
We are hard to change. I get all of it. It isn't, though.
Not anymore.
And I think we have to be honest about that. Eli has played very little this preseason.
He's played one set of downs.
Yeah, in each game.
Yeah.
And one was a three and out against the Jets.
Yeah.
So he has not played very much. He's played as little, I think, as he's ever played in preseason. And listen, you might tell me he's a veteran, he can handle it. I get that. But you just aren't seeing any risk taken if they can prevent it.
And the Giants, when the Bengals last night had their starters in the first quarter, not only did their defensive lineman draw a million tackles, draw a million penalties, but they had guys open all over the field. Peppers blew an assignment for a touchdown. They did not look good.
The one thing that is going under the radar right now, and I'm not going to go nuts about it, and I'm not going to carry the flag on this yet, is Jabril Peppers, when he came here, was viewed as a better safety than Landon Collins. Let's be honest. He was portrayed as a better guy. All of the guys the Giants got rid of were portrayed as bad guys for the culture.
And Collins wasn't really a bad guy.
No, a lot of them weren't. But that's another topic.
I don't want to scream today. Yes.
But Jabril Peppers, no doubt, was viewed as the piece of that trade, that they swiped him from the Browns, that he's better than Landon, and this and that. We haven't seen him catch an interception in a game, at least I don't believe we have.
Nope.
And
he got toasted.
And he has not been some coverage guy.
No.
Listen, there's no shame in saying, Mike, safeties have a hard time covering the big receiver and the tight end.
They do.
Anyone would. Some cornerbacks have trouble with the big tight end. But when you tell us he can cover that player, be sure that he can, because that's a very difficult tag to put on a safety.
You know, Collins got absolutely downgraded everywhere because the San Francisco tight end scored him.
And he now embarrassed does it to everyone.
He is the new Gronkowski.
Exactly.
He is the new big tight end star.
Exactly.
He does that to every team. He doesn't just do it to the Giants. He does it to everybody.
Exactly.
He's become a big star at tight end.
But Landon had to wear that.
Yes.
And Landon was asked, and I think James Betcher would say this, and I'm not speaking for him, but I think he would agree with this, I guess. Landon Collins was asked to do a lot of different things.
That were unfair.
That weren't
absolutely
necessarily his strength.
He had to cover
but
up.
He was the best option on a team with some secondary players
with
last
no
year
options.
Who shouldn't have been on the team or in the league.
Right, with no option.
Right.
Very
so
fair.
Landon did it and never, that I know of, complained. Never.
And they did
and
take it,
and
a
then
guy.
And then got embarrassed.
They took a guy who was, a couple of years ago, almost the MVP of the league defensively and was anonymous All-Pro.
Yeah.
And really hurt his career dramatically and unfairly. Listen, he's not a great cover guy. He doesn't have great hands.
Right.
But he can be a crazy, crazy good at the line of scrimmage.
He can change games going forward.
Absolutely.
I've never understood why he's used any differently. He can change games going
absolutely.
Forward. That is one guy. Listen, I don't think the Redskins are going to be a very good team.
No.
He is going to be very interesting to watch this season, in my mind, because I think that's how they're going to use
him. And
he
has a right to be burned because he had his reputation really scolded. I mean, he really did.
Yeah, they all did.
Yeah, I think I think some guys, like...
You think some guys brought it on
it.
A little bit more,
yes.
Whereas he did not.
I don't think he did at all. I don't think he did at all. I think the San Francisco game got him just so much abuse, it was unbelievable.
I will tell you where he was like some of the other guys who maybe not everyone cares for. Sick of losing. And I don't blame them for that. They're all not.
Yes.
You know, I hate to be the one to tell people.
They all
not everyone
be.
In a clubhouse and locker room burns to win.
No.
Because the check always comes
that's
every
right.
other Friday or however often they get paid. But a lot of these guys that we're talking about and some we're not naming got to a point where the losing was really affecting them. They absolutely hated it.
It should. I mean, let's be honest. The Giants have done a prolific amount of losing for the Giants in the last 5 or 6 years. They've had one decent team. I mean, and they've
right,
lost.
The one playoff team.
And
right.
now they've won 8 games in the last 2 years. That's crazy.
Yes.
I mean,
right.
it really is. It's,
right.
it's crazy.
I do think that they're looking at an uptick this year. I think they're better.
They clearly are. And they got a schedule.
And they have a better schedule.
They could get off to a good start.
Yep.
And if they don't, if they don't have a winning record after 5 games, they are going to have a rough year. Because the first five... Now
they
the
also
Cowboy
might have
game,
a new quarterback.
What?
They also might have a new quarterback.
They might. Listen, as soon as it's over, as soon as they're not going to the playoffs, they're changing quarterbacks. We all know it. Eli knows it. They all know it. He knows it, too. He lived through it. He knows it's coming. I mean, the question is...
What do you think he thinks watching these preseason games where Daniel Jones is completing 9 of 11 passes?
I think he is... What people don't understand about him is he is... incredibly competitive, and people don't realize he is. While Tom Brady wears it on his sleeve, this guy has had a great career. He's indestructible. He never gets hurt.
Never.
He plays hurt.
He does.
He played with injuries that should have played him out. Guys would sit out with games. I know for a fact he's sat out. He's played games that other guys would sit out.
No doubt. There's
ankle,
no doubt
his
about
ankle
that.
Was like a balloon.
There
when
is
he played,
no doubt about
okay?
that.
The guy likes to play, and he's fiercely prideful and competitive, and it bothers him. There's no question. You know, it just bothers him. He's been the starter his whole life. Every play, everywhere he's ever been, he's been the starter. And let's be honest, if you've accomplished what he's accomplished, you know, you got a lot of pride. You have to.
Right.
So I think it bothers him. Now, I think he will be, he's always a gentleman. I think he, and he might very much like the kid because the kid's a good kid.
Yeah,
he seems like a nice kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't think he'll take it out on him, but I think it bothers him. I think it really, I think he worries about how this year, I think it was that way with me. I actually have a very good relationship with him, but he did not want to be in a position where he was talking about the other quarterback if he wasn't playing. That's what bothered him. He's like, I can't do that. I can't sit there for 6 weeks or 7 weeks.
Right.
And the only question you're going to ask me is about how Daniel Jones played because I didn't play.
Right.
I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I'd rather not do the interviews.
Yeah. One thing I've thought of, I've been in the car so much recently. I don't know about you if you're ever in the car by yourself. You have a family and everything.
Right.
I think in the car, which is good and bad, but
absolutely.
I have time to think because I'm in the car for hours at a time.
Right.
And the one thing I was thinking about recently was Pat Shurmur, the night they drafted Daniel Jones, said that he had told Eli, it's your job to keep this guy off the field. Mike, That is one thing that remains at least as true, if not more true now, than when he said it at the end of April.
There,
Pat Shurmur, for everything he's ever said to us, has never said anything truer than that.
So here's the catch-22 in that. Here's the question. What if the defense bombs and Eli's playing well?
I think then Eli keeps his job.
That's a tricky
point. I think if you can put it on the defense, Eli keeps his job,
because,
don't you?
Yeah, but you know, last year, and this town really blamed Eli, a lot of them did, a lot of people did for this, that defense gave up how many games last year in the second half of the year? They lost 3 games in the last minute with the lead. I mean, they lost 4 games. They've lost 18 in the last 4 years.
They also were victimized, twice by long field goals,
right.
One of which was like 60-some yards.
And they lost 18 games with the lead in the fourth quarter in the last 4 years. I mean, they've been a terrible defense in recent years. 1 year they were good was the 11-5 year. Yep. Otherwise, they've been a bad defense. So that's the tricky part, because you know what? You know this better than anybody. This is no longer Eli's team. This is now Daniel Jones' team, because everything that matters is about Daniel Jones. It's no longer about Eli. Eli is yesterday's news. No matter what happens this year, he's not going to be there next year. There's no way he's on that team next year. And Daniel Jones is going to be their quarterback next year. And they know that, and now it's about him, because it's only about one quarterback in the building. And now it has moved. And Eli knows that. It's moved, and there's nothing he can do. He can stop it. He can hold it off by winning.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's Daniel Jones's, you know, and the town is burning. A lot of the town's burning to see the young quarterback, because that's what people want to do. They always want to see the new toy.
Always.
They always want to see
when he throws 2 interceptions in a game, because all rookie quarterbacks will at some point, whether it's Haskins or whoever it turns out to be anywhere else in the league, or Jones, they'll lose their minds.
All right, what team, we're talking with Kim Jones, what team do you like that maybe is flown under the radar that you think is going to have a good year this year?
I might be crazy. I like the Bills a little bit. Their defense is ridiculous. I think they have the best secondary in the league. Their safeties are terrific. Tre'Davious White is terrific at corner. They feel good about the other corner. I think, Ed Oliver is going to have a little something to show. And he's very, very raw, Mike. But, you're talking about a guy who really goes at 100 miles per hour and that stuff. Absolutely. I think the defense is going to be really good.
How about the offense?
I think they will run the ball a lot. I think they want their quarterback to run fewer times than last year, which everyone would. He ran an awful lot. He's a huge guy.
He's a big man.
But
he's like a building.
You don't want him running over linebackers.
Right.
You really don't.
Right.
Unless you're in the Super Bowl and you need that 2 yards. But I think a lot of
Buffalo,
it will come down to Josh Allen and the accuracy issue. But Cole Beasley helps that. John Brown helps that. They still have Zay Jones, who he's connected well with. So I kind of like the Bills.
And what team do you not like?
Good one.
Of the now teams. Well, the two now teams now, the two bandwagon teams,
Cleveland,
are the Browns and the Bears. Everybody's on those two bandwagons.
Yeah. I don't know that I love the Bears as much as everyone because of the quarterback situation there.
I don't love them at all. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't know that I love that they're going to miss Fangio, you have to believe. I like the Browns. I can see the caution signs, though, because it's been
an
awful lot.
How is that coach going to handle that?
Yeah, you know what? I think
Freddie, I don't know the coach. I don't know him from a hole in the wall.
Well, you and he have something in common.
What's
because
that?
He talks to Parcells all the time. Like they are, he reaches out for.
So does about two-thirds of the league.
I understand.
I mean,
that
it's
part
almost like they all do.
It just, yeah, Bill must be on the phone
it's
constantly.
It's all he does. He's got his horses and his coaches. That's basically it. I mean, he talks to half the league. He really does.
It's amazing.
He counsels half the league.
How many people rely on Bill Parcells for advice and everything else is amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, it is amazing how many coaches he counsels. It is really unbelievable.
Right.
I think
it's going to come down to the quarterback. Because Baker showed signs last year of really being able to handle it, even though he's a short guy.
He's got ability.
And everything else.
He's a good football player.
Can he take some steps forward?
Yeah, and they got a lot of combustible parts.
Here's my wild card with them, though.
They have some good other players, too,
Yeah, they do. Here's my wild card with them. In Week 10, they get to bring in Kareem Hunt. Fresh legs and a guy who can destroy defenses when he's healthy and when he's running the ball. That could be, that's like a big acquisition, Mike, 10 weeks into a season.
You know what game you don't want to miss is them and the Steelers. Because is such bad blood there between, and now they don't like that team's talking.
That's it's Cleveland with the Stars and the Steelers with Ben and a bunch of other guys.
That's going to be fun. Yeah. Those games will be fun because I think the Steelers are still going to be pretty good. I really do. And I hear they have a couple of defenders who are really good young players this year.
Well, and they have the inside linebacker out of Michigan who they love.
He's playing great.
They absolutely love him. They love Devin White in Tampa. Those two inside linebackers I think are going to be fabulous.
Yes, I mean, they're raving about him. Absolutely.
Week 2 is going to be fun, though, when Cleveland comes to MetLife to play the Jets on that Monday night. Yep. I know it's Jets, not Giants, but that is going to be really
good,
intriguing.
There's a little rivalry between Donald and Baker Mayfield,
sure is.
Too.
I mean, there always will be. Yep.
There always will be.
Yep.
Well, good to see you, Kim.
Great
Enjoy.
To
Thanks
see
for coming
you.
Down. Thank you
Look
very
at
much.
The crowd. It's That's packed it. In here. I
and
love it.
We just
it.
Try to hold off the rain, which is right there, but thanks very much. Back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.